Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, we needed a win. You know, we weren't thinking about what's ahead. We talked about tonight. Both teams needing a win, and we needed to show that we were hungry for a win. And I thought our guys did that tonight.
Coming at you from the ATL, from inside the paint and beyond the arc. This is nothing but Nest, your Atlanta Hawks podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Deshaun Tate and Caleb Johnson.
Welcome into Nothing But Nest, an Atlanta Hawks podcast. Here with Odyssey is I'm with my co-host Deshaun Tate, me Caleb Johnson, as we bring another episode to you, episode 10. Deshaun, we've made double digits now, as they haven't let this thing go just yet.
Hey, listen.
I knew I was going to get a reaction out of you.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised Bill and Rick ain't got rid of us just yet.
Well, we finally have some good news to come into. I feel like last show was a lot of doom and gloom and a lot of frustration. But as you just heard from head coach Nate McMillan, both the teams who played last night, the Atlanta Hawks and the Orlando Magic, both of them needed a win. The Hawks obviously coming in to that game on a 3-game losing streak. The Orlando Magic on a 5-game losing streak, and the Hawks win 125-108. That puts them at 12-10 overall, sixth in the Eastern Conference. It's magical how one win can change things. They go from eighth to sixth in the East, and from second in the Southeast back up to number one. They're back on top of the division that I don't take very seriously. But Deshaun, this one, it felt like the big difference here was you had a 20-point lead at halftime, and you actually maintained that lead.
Hold on to it, yeah. Yeah. Caleb, here's my thing about, you know, the Orlando game, okay? First of all, play that clip one more time if you don't mind for your boy.
If it's not too much. You want to hear from Nate McMillan again? That's fine. That's fine. We can do it.
I want to hear from Mac. I want to hear from that boy, Nate Mac.
Well, we needed a win. You know, we weren't thinking about what's ahead. We talked about tonight. Both teams needing a win, and we needed to show that we were hungry for a win. And I thought our guys did that tonight.
Okay. Congrats. And this is going to sound really terrible. Okay, I just want to be honest about it.
Okay.
Put it out there for what it is. Okay, it is what it is. Okay. Like, congratulations on getting the win that you had to get. You knew you had to get and shouldn't have been in the position. It's almost like when I won't say who it is, but I know a special homie in my life. Okay.
Okay.
And who's always like, you know, oh no, where everybody hating about and I take care of my kids. It's like, dude, you're supposed to take care of your kids. They're your kids. like you're supposed to do this. You know what I'm saying? Like that's my thing, like, about this game. You were up against it. You know that you needed a win. What did he say? We needed a win. Yeah, no crap. You know what I mean? Like we know. Yeah. And you should have been in position where it comes down to you. Because guess what? What if that team on Wednesday night? What if that wasn't the Orlando Magic and you still needed the win?
Well,
what if that, you understand what I'm saying? Not only that, but like you're saying, like, we're not thinking ahead. You're not supposed to be looking ahead. I asked the question, Caleb. I said, of the next three games to close out November, the next three or four teams, okay, are 500 and below.
Below, okay? Yeah.
500, not and above, and below, okay? What kind of conversations are you having in your own heads or amongst each other in the locker rooms about making sure that you're beating the teams you are supposed to beat? And one of the part of that answer from Trae Young was, we're just looking forward to, you know, the Houston Rockets up next. Of course, because you're not supposed to look too far ahead. So I'm not sure where Nate McMillan was going with some of that.
I will say, so the question came from, like, was it important to get this win knowing what you have coming up this weekend and, like, you know, in Denver and in OKC kind of thing? And I think, like, his whole thing was along the lines of what you're saying of, like, we were focused on getting this win. Now, the funny thing that I always notice, and you can take note of this too, Deshaun might have already done this, whenever the Hawks either lose or beat these type teams that I would say, you know, shouldn't be competitive, teams that have, you know, I mean, the Orlando Magic came into this game with like 5 wins. The Houston Rockets had like, what, 3-4 wins maybe before they played the Hawks. Mm-hmm. You always hear guys, specifically Trae does this, talk about, you know, I mean, we're facing NBA competition every night, you know, I mean.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, but I like that. That's always, it's funny because it's true. However, we all know there are different levels of NBA competition. You know, like, we all get this. Like, yeah, you guys are, this isn't college anymore. However, there are still expectations of taking advantage of and easily handling teams like the Orlando Magic. You brought up something interesting the other day, Deshaun, that I think is very true, that the Hawks a season ago ran into, but I don't think have the same thing now, which is after coming off the Eastern Conference Finals, teams started to circle the Atlanta Hawks as a team we need to beat. Sure. Coming into this season, I don't think that's the case. And so you don't always get you know, everything but the kitchen sink thrown at you from a team like the Magic and the Rockets. And yet, you know, there were times like you had that hiccup against the Rockets. Thankfully, I think the difference and what made me feel so good about the win against the Magic on Wednesday was the fact of you never really had that moment of letting things get out of hand. Like, I think the lead at some point in the second quarter shrunk to 10 points. Mm. And then in the second half, I saw some signs of things that concerned me. Yeah. I saw some signs of coming out in the second half, and it looked like Trae wanted to play hero ball.
Yeah.
Chuck up some shots that had he chucked up a shot so bad that it had Dominique Wilkins on the broadcast going like, oh, you know, somebody got a hand on that. And they show the replay and he was like, oh, I guess that wasn't blocked. Okay. And they just like carried on. So like that feels like the difference to me is the fact of you didn't let up and you attacked a team who you should be able to attack rather easily because they're not as good. They're young. They have some talent. They have some pieces that, shoot, right now you want to make a trade, Frank Kaminsky for Mo Wagner, let's do it right now, you know, because I think Mo Wagner is a really, really impressive player. They have some good pieces. Also, you know, Banchero too. I'm sure in your household, you're forced to watch more Paolo Banchero games than you care to watch. But like, he's another impressive one. But they're still, as a whole, just not a good team, and you should be able to beat a team like that.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't mind watching Paolo Banchero a little bit more in my household than where Mo Wagner went. But listen, here's my thing, Caleb. We're not saying, we're saying all of this, we're not saying, you know, Hawks should go 82-0 and Hawks shouldn't be losing a game.
Yeah.
I just want the people to understand that at some point you got to have that pride. And sure. I thought about some of the things that I said about the Hawks, you know, in our last episode. And it's like, if people don't know you or your personality or know your way of thinking, you're going to really come across as a Hawks hater. That's not what we're here to do.
Thank you for saying this.
Right. But what we are going to do, like I always say on this program, is that we're not going to play radio, and we're gonna tell you how we see things through our lens. And if being on a third, you know, on a three game losing streak, sounds like, dude, you're being a little bit ridiculous by calling them out for being on a three game losing streak, because that's going to happen. I think the mentality behind the three-game losing streak is one thing, and the teams that you lose to on that three-game losing streak is making a big difference. So I just want to—it's some of those little things, those little nuances that I don't think that people pay attention to. Caleb, let me ask you this: when he says things like, you know, we needed a win, and you know, not thinking ahead, and like, are you? And this always, I'm gonna learn a lot about the co-host today. Are you a win is a win guy? Who's Caleb Johnson when it comes to the whole, like, whether you squeak out the win or regardless who you play win, or just like, are you the win is a win guy? I'll take it.
As opposed to what? Like, because I think so for me, to some respect, yes, like I am a win is a win. However, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be happy about it. That doesn't mean I'm going to just like give you all the praise of, well, at least you figured it out. Like, no. I'm going to tell you, thank goodness. Like you did the bare minimum. You figured out how to get the win. But that's why I feel different about like this Orlando game where it wasn't a, you know, you didn't beat them 109 to 108 and you're going, right. Well, you really needed one. And so thankfully you pulled it off. But like to some extent, I think you have to be, is like, you look back at the end of the season and you go, you needed to get that one. You got it done. And that's why, like, yeah, you're right. When it comes to like the three game losing streaks, I never want to hit the panic button on something like that. Like that's why I pointed out the fact of the season previous to that, they had gone on, like, I think it was a 6-game losing streak. That I would be hitting the panic button on. You lose 6 straight. Like that's when you go, ooh, okay, what's going on with this team? 3 games, no. And especially when I feel like I can pinpoint some of the issues, and the issues are fixable for the most part.
Sure.
That's when I don't, like, I'm not going to get too excited. But I am with you that I feel like us doing this, especially like some of the clips we cut, because we're being realistic about this team, we come off as like, you know, good team. Yeah.
Good. Take that. Because you know what? Yep. That is the problem that people have with this market sometimes, is because, you know, if we're just being realistic, okay, you're from here, Caleb. I'm not from here, you know? And you know, the way that people who are not from here view Falcons fans, maybe not as much Braves fans, but Hawks fans, people that are not from here, which I'm typically not accused of this. Like I one thing I do admit to is, you know, Atlanta's not New York or anything like that. Okay, and in some ways that's a really good thing. Okay?
Yeah,
Let's just be realistic. Yeah. In many ways, that's a really good thing. Okay, but in other ways, it's like, you know, I think that's what makes New York New York, is that it's like, that's New York. You know what I mean? And I'm fine with it until it gets disrespectful, and even if it's a little disrespect, it can be tastefully disrespectful, if that makes sense. Anyway, I say all that to say that, you know, on the outside looking in, a lot of people are thinking fair weather fans here in this city, okay? And that's just what they think. They think that it's not until this team starts winning that the people don't come out and cheer hard and things of that nature. You also have to understand that there's a lot of people here that are not from here, so they have their own favorite teams, and they come out and support this one when they can or when it's convenient for them. Okay, because they want to see the team win of which where they live and where they reside. Okay. And I'm trying to remember exactly what even got me on this, but all of that being said, it's something that had to be said. There's people that are diehard Hawks fans that, you know, I talked to a guy one day, dude, he was on the other side of the world diehard Hawks fan on the other side of the world, never been to Atlanta. Some people have no idea, but I love the way that the people get behind this Hawks team and want to set it straight, okay? But we love to be realistic about this team, and that's just what it is. You want something different, you go get that from elsewhere. Just come back and make sure that you subscribe right here. Now, Caleb, I'm very much like you. I'm definitely a win is a win kind of guy too. But I'm also don't mind following that up with being I don't like my wins like that though.
Kind of. Yeah, I don't have to let you off the hook. Sense. Yeah.
I don't have to let you completely off the hook. And it happens way too often sometimes. And on top of that, I like my wins. I don't mind treating my wins like losses sometimes too.
Yeah, I think head coaches do that a lot of the times. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page, because some people stick their chests out like they just won by the margin that they're supposed to win by, and it's like, nah, you didn't do that. Like, you won the game, congratulations. You were supposed to do that. The bigger thing is, did you cover my spread on the bet that I put in? That's the bigger disappointment. You know what I'm saying? So let's not stick our chest out like we did A, B, and C. Like, the job that Atlanta did on Wednesday, I needed that against Houston. Like, and I don't want to be that person who's like, here he goes again. But let's just be real. That's what I needed. Now, we're talking about no Bogdanović and Collins for, half. And then you've also got DeAndre Hunter, DH12, not Dwight Howard, but the other DH12, DeAndre Hunter, not having him for extended. So they had to play. A lot of guys are still kind of inexperienced and in their first year in a Hawks uniform. I thought that they did a pretty damn good job, to be honest with you, because I watch every Orlando home game this season. And they beat some pretty good teams that didn't even have the injuries to some very key contributors and to some star players as well. So I want to throw that out there, because Orlando has been a team that's been competing. They're just getting everybody back. Cole Anthony is back. I know Suggs didn't play. Excuse me. I don't think Bamba played either. But for the most part, a lot of the nucleus was back. Markel Fultz, Paolo Banchero is back. Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, like Bobo. They've got some young, they're those young Hawks that we were talking about the other day. And that's why I'm glad that Atlanta did what they were supposed to do. The same way that other teams saw Atlanta coming up and would make sure that Atlanta didn't get that win by putting those young Hawks in the dirt, Atlanta put the young Magic in the dirt like they were supposed to. And I loved every bit of it.
Well, let's talk about a little bit of the, you mentioned the injuries. So yeah, you came into the game, no Justin Holiday, who had just come off having a really solid night from three. Thankfully, he had finally provided something to the Hawks in a game, because he hadn't seen many minutes in the last, a couple of weeks. But yeah, no Justin Holiday, health and safety. Jalen Johnson out again. He's got that right ankle soreness. Then you mentioned John Collins goes down. Well, DeAndre Hunter goes down before that. He runs in, he's got a right hip injury going on. He aggravated that and he was done for the game. And then John Collins at the half, you see Trae Young throw up the lob and John Collins is going to come down with it at the buzzer. He didn't come down with it at the buzzer. And as he stepped down, that left ankle just turned. And he was down. They had to, I don't know that they had to, but I know that Trae Young and a trainer were very quick to kind of scoop him up. He put zero pressure on that ankle, left the floor. And then the word that we got last night from Nate McMillan was, this is a team that they're going to have a couple of MRIs, DeAndre Hunter and John Collins, to determine how serious those injuries are. We'll see. I think DeAndre Hunter's injury is just one of those like nagging things that will heal over some time. Maybe he misses the Denver game. But the John Collins thing, man, that terrifies me. The way that I saw his ankle turn, I know they're calling it a sprain, but this would not be the first time that the Hawks erred on the side of optimism rather than the side of caution in saying that this could be a, like, legitimate thing that keeps him away for a while, which leads me to, so those guys go out, which means you're relying a whole lot more on your bench.
Specifically, number 27.
You know, Vic Krejci, he was a guy who, not going to lie, expected more from. You know, he played some minutes and ended up with 4 fouls and 0 points. So not an ideal night. But let's be positive, Deshaun, for a little bit. We don't always have to stay so negative, because there was a really big bright spot in last night's game, and that was Jarrett Culver, a guy who was, wasn't he the sixth overall pick in 2018 or 2019? I think it was 2019.
I think he came right behind a couple picks after DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah, like that was the thing.
Draft, I believe.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, those were the two guys that faced off in the national championship game. By the way, anyway.
Yeah. No. So if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, I believe it was DeAndre Hunter at 5 and Jarrett Culver at 6, or was it the other way around? It might have been.
It was definitely Hunter went before Culver. But Hunter went 4th.
Okay, he went 4. All right. So these guys were expected to be playing on the same level. Oh, that's right. Darius Garland went at 5, and then Jarrett Culver at 6. Wow. So that pick obviously did not work out for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He did not have the start to his career that they would have liked. He then bounced to where did he go? Memphis. He went to Memphis. And then comes to Atlanta on this two-way deal. And we can be completely honest about this. This is last shot in your career. You get one more chance of trying to prove something before you're out of the league. And Jarrett Culver comes off the bench, plays 30 minutes against the Orlando Magic. 9 points, 12 rebounds. That was a key, crucial 12 rebounds, 2 steals in this one. Jarrett Culver was huge. I did not expect to get that from a two-way player. And much less, I think it was funny. Nate McMillan actually went on in his press conference on Wednesday night to say, if not for Trent Forrest and Jarrett Culver, we wouldn't have won that game. And I feel like he was trying to say it as like, well, we wouldn't have won that game because of their contributions. And I was thinking, Nate, you needed bodies. Like, at that point, you just needed bodies on the floor.
That's confidence. That's confidence building talk.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. Because it was, you just needed bodies on the floor. And what you got was actual production, which leads me to, Deshaun, a very interesting conversation that I want to have on the other side of the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Deshaun, giving, you know, Jarrett Culver, Trent Forrest, their props, you know, two-way guys, you know, actually stepping up in moments where the Hawks really needed them. I want to play some sound that was a conversation while we were recording this podcast on Tuesday. Hawks GM Landry Fields was on with the morning show, and he had some interesting stuff to say about a couple of different things. But the one that I want to focus on is he was asked by John and Hugh, you know, what are you evaluating as far as when it comes to making moves that can make this team better. Because I, Caleb Johnson, am a person that thinks this team's only going to improve by making some moves and bringing in some talent. However, at least for right now, at least for what Landry Fields is telling media, Landry feels a little bit different about this team right now. So let's hear from Landry.
You always have to have a pulse on where you can continue to grow and increase. Sometimes the opportunities is not about trading players. Sometimes the opportunity is about within and repositioning and figuring out, okay, what players are not in the right seats? What things do we need to change from a system standpoint? How we're approaching certain things. And a lot of times opportunity is about more support, you know, and getting guys to actually lean into certain things that we need them to do. Sometimes it looks like challenge.
All right, that from Landry Fields on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Tuesday of this week. That sounds like, Deshaun, a guy who's essentially, he and head coach Nick McMillan are making some changes to the bench. Do you think, we just gave credit, and rightfully so, to a guy like Jarrett Culver, who stepped up. You know, we've given a lot of credit because I think AJ Griffin has saved this team in a lot of different places this year.
Yes.
And if not for his play, I don't know where this Hawks team would be. But do you agree with Landry Fields that it's not necessary to make any trades to make this team better, that maybe they just need to move some seats around? Obviously, it sounds like he's talking about the bench and who plays and who gets minutes and who doesn't.
Yeah, the rotation and all that kind of stuff, and maybe mixing up, you know, seeing what things work with some guys and better than with other guys. And that goes kind of back to Caleb Johnson's question at one point in time about, you know, just, you know, kind of rolling the dice and you know, trying something different, whatever. Yeah. the you know, with the question that you asked in the press conference. And what was that word that you or he used? Something about just what was that word in that press conference when you asked that question? I can't remember exactly what that was.
Yeah, that was Nate McMillan. I asked him, because I think he threw AJ Griffin on the floor with starters at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, he brought, if I remember correctly, he brought DeJounte Murray or DeAndre Hunter off the floor, and he put AJ Griffin on. And it was all about, I'm not experimenting out
experimenting.
Here.
Experimenting. Yeah. There's the word I was like, experimenting.
Yeah. He said, I'm not experimenting. I'm trying to win games. Yeah. And then I need to be a better reporter because I needed to follow up immediately with, well, can you not experiment and win games at the same time? Because yes, you and I had this conversation where we were like, well, if some of these guys don't get minutes and we run into injuries, what are we experiencing right now, Deshaun? It's December 1st. Sounds like some experimenting would not be such a bad idea. And it sounds like that's what they want to do now.
Exactly. And that's exactly where I was going with that. Thanks for finding that word. You know, the word experimenting is too big of a word for my vocabulary. But you know, the thing is that it appears that that's what's happening now. I don't know if they're talking about moving guys. I could think of some guys that they can move, but I don't know if they're talking about moving guys. At some point, we're gonna realize that this whole potentially Jay Crowder thing, it can be a real thing.
Yeah.
But the reality of this whole thing too is that you haven't been fully healthy the whole way through, especially because of one really big piece of your lineup. Now you're without three guys as of the second half of yesterday. You know, you're without Hunter, you're without Bogey, you're without Collins, and you've got to bring more to the table than just these two dynamic guards, as great as that is. And that's no disrespect to Clint Capella. But, you know what I mean? Clint Capella, anything that he gives you on the offensive end, essentially, is going to be a bonus. He's going to eat because he's going to get the ball lobbed to him, and he's going to be like Oscar the Grouch and just be the cleanup man around the rim. Outside of that, there has to be other answers. There can't continue to be this whole, DeAndre Hunter getting hurt every year thing too. Like, I understand guys are going to go through their injuries and so forth, but this can't keep happening year after year. And then the same excuse we keep hearing about, well, DeAndre was hurt. Well, DeAndre was hurt. Well, the second best player on the team was hurt. Well, now you got the second best player on the team in DeAndre Hunter prior to this year, by most people would personally feel that way. And or who the other half of the people felt like is the second best player on the team, John Collins. They're both hurt now. You see what I'm saying? So now you have different issues. And that's what's putting them in a very peculiar situation, in my opinion, to say, who's the guy that steps up? You made a very good point. Without AJ Griffin's contribution, these, what are we looking at? 11 wins now, 12 wins. There were 11 wins and 10, now. So 12 wins now. Those 12 wins would probably be more along the lines of like 8 or 9 wins, if I'm just being honest. Yeah, and that's probably on the high. That's probably on the high end. So I think it's good that you're getting what you're getting. But some changes do have to be made because the bench contribution is just not enough. I mean, Orlando's bench came out and scored like 50-something points in that game. So, like, Atlanta's like 30, late 30-something, or you know, 30-something, maybe close about 40 points or whatever it was. What if Trey is not hitting on that game? As we know, and we've seen recently, all the way up until the last two games or so, three games, he hasn't been hitting consistently. Same thing with, you know, Debo Murray. What if those guys can't save the day? We're looking at games where they're getting trounced. There has to be some shakeups. There has to be some moves made. There's got to be some more talent. There's got to be guys not just getting stops. I mean, yes, Okongwu. Prior to yesterday, there was games where Okongwu wasn't, you know, and everybody's going to have their games. Look at Deshaun Tate making it sound so easy because he gets to sit on the sofa and eat snacks while everybody else does the dirty work. But Sean Tate also doesn't get paid millions of dollars to do this either. I understand the frustration that some people have when they make Melon a little bit, because it appears that he doesn't want to dip into switching things up within the rotation a little bit more. It's good to see AJ. Did AJ Griffin get a start?
No. Not. Yeah.
He hasn't started at all during the season. I feel like I've seen him start. He started once the other night or something.
I was about to say, he got a start this season, yes.
Just not against the Orlando game. Okay, I got you. But it's good to see that he's at least trying to do some things that is just not like, I'm going to sit here and be stubborn and win, lose, draw with my way. Like, changes have got to be made. And I think some moves have got to be made too, Caleb. Who are they? I don't know that exactly just yet. I don't think they have to be made today. But I'm starting to get the feel that some things have to change, or some of these guys are going to have to start saving the day and tightening up a little bit for this team to get some wins.
Yeah. So the reason why I asked is because what Landry Fields and, you know, everybody's kind of getting to is Landry's trying to present this idea of, we can move some guys around on the bench. You've already seen it. The Holiday brothers, it's not holiday season anymore in Atlanta. And like, that joke can finally go out the window and everybody can stop referring to it so often. But I had to get one more use out of it. Sorry, Deshaun.
Sure. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh man. The amount of times, holiday season. All of those kinds of references. But you know, Justin Holiday, I know, was out with health and safety protocols. His minutes have gone down substantially as of recent. Aaron Holiday, Deshaun, it got so bad. Aaron Holiday was the last guy off the bench against the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
That used to be Vic Krejci. That was Vic Krejci's role when Krejci and Frank Kaminsky would come in.
They needed some size though.
Yeah. And that was the big thing. So I asked Nate McMillan about this the other night when he played Trent Forrest. And it was like, hey, what went into that decision? Because Trent Forrest was playing in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Who was that against? Just a couple of games ago. And I was, you know, and what Nate McMillan said in that moment was, we're looking for some size. I wanted a guard with some size. Mm-hmm. And so that's when he goes with Trent Forrest. Mm-hmm. However, relying heavily on two-way players like a Trent Forrest, like a Jarrett Culver. They're good stories. It's really good story. Like, it will be a great story, Deshaun, if Jarrett Culver ends up being a really successful player for the Atlanta Hawks on their bench this season. Mm-hmm. However, he's still a two-way player. Like, you need to get production from him as a bonus, not getting production out of him
as because needed.
It is necessary. And yeah. That's why I say it's cute. It's nice. It's a very positive thought to say, well, the Atlanta Hawks don't need to make any trades. They just need to find the right roles for the guys on the team. No, we're 22 games into the season or whatever it is. We need to come to the realization that the front office messed up a bit. It's okay. Yeah. You know what you do when you mess up, Deshaun? You fix it.
Oh, you asking me? Oh, okay, never mind. You took me back to my childhood. I'm thinking about that time that I stole a pack of bubble gum from the store. Then my mama found out because the neighbor told her. And then my I don't want to go.
No, you don't want to go down that road.
I still got the scars, Caleb. So you took me back when you said, you know what you get when you get in trouble? And I'm thinking like, it instantly went from me hearing Caleb's voice to hearing my mom or my grandma's voice. And I'm like, I'm in super big trouble. And I'm sure it showed all over the screen now.
No, you know what it was? Like, I started saying that and I was like, ooh, felt like my dad just now. You know, like, but for real though, like, when you make a mistake, you fix it. Like, most of the time you apologize for it and then you fix it. But I don't expect any apologies from Landry Fields in the front office for the decisions they made of some of the players they brought in. But it's, I think we've got, we know now, my opinion, this is strictly mine. Frank Kaminsky, not it. Aaron Holiday, not it. And then from then on, Vic Krejci, expected more out of him than to get some good minutes and put up four fouls and not any points. Like, I was kind of hoping that Vic Krejci could be Bogey Bogdanovich light version. And that hasn't happened. But Deshaun, on a more positive note, Bogey Bogdanovich might be back soon. That was another interesting piece that Landry Fields did say on 92.9 The Game when he had that interview on Tuesday, was that he was asked, what's the update? And he said, we do expect Bogey back in the next few games. And here was the other interesting part. The reason why, because you could normally say that, or you could hear that and go, well, Travis Schlink used to all the time say stuff about injuries that ended up not being true. However, they upgraded Bogey for the Magic game from out to doubtful.
Okay.
And so it was like, or was it questionable? Now I can't even remember. But it was they changed the designation on Bogey. And so I'm thinking maybe we're not too far away from Bogey Bogdanovich coming back to play, which will be crucial against the Denver Nuggets. What are you kind of expecting, especially as the Hawks come home for this and get to play the Nuggets? Like, this is a team, they're still really good. Second in the West. You know, they haven't really dropped off like a lot of other teams in the West have. You think this is a game that the Hawks play up to the level of the Denver Nuggets in this one?
First of all, my question was like, what's a few games? Is that three or four, or is that six or seven?
But here's the thing with that. You can be real general with it and say, well, I wasn't wrong. I did say a few games. It's just, to you, it might be three or four. To me, it might be, 20. Because I didn't think Bogey would be back until after Christmas Day.
Sure.
And well, it looks like I might be wrong on that.
Well, that's the other thing, though, Caleb, is like, with these injuries and all these things happening, are you starting to get the sense that either A, he's already kind of been ready to come back a little bit, but now you really need him desperately, so you're rushing him back? Or and that may not be the case, obviously. I'm not trying to speak for the for the medical staff or anything.
I get where
like
your
that.
Thought process is going though.
You know, but or could it be that are they rushing them back a little bit too early? Let's make sure that this thing is exactly where it needs to be, because sometimes I find it ironic when you get put in, you know, it appears that it keeps being delayed on somebody coming back, and then all of a sudden you realize how desperately you need that person. It's like, all right, well, you know, we're gonna just say he's, you know, 90% now, when really it was like, but how is he 90% now when he's been at 70% for the last X amount of weeks? And so, then all of a sudden we wake up this morning and he's at 90. Like, what changed? And what changed on the mattress? You know what I mean? Where, yeah, he was asleep overnight type deal.
So I don't think that's the case this time. Now, I know that to be 100% true? No. The reason why is I think we've watched this team rush Bogey back off of an injury when they thought they needed him, when he thought he was able to get back. It was after the big knee injury in 2020, was it 2021? When he came back after that, I think that was a bit rushed. This time, the way I've seen them be so delicate with him, every time I'm at a practice or a shoot around, they've got Bogey running all practice. Like running. He's doing 3-on-3 with some of the like assistants or guys, you know, who help out with the team. Like, he's running the sidelines. I think he did some 3-on-3 with like actual players at some point last week. But like, that's the whole thing with him is they are running him, trying to get him in shape. I think that was like they had reached the point of the leg was healing, and then it was about getting him into
shape.
Okay. And so now that's what I'm wondering is if they're starting to feel like, okay, this is pretty close. And for some people, they feel like, well, why don't you just go and have him play with the Skyhawks? But I, for whatever reason, I don't think they want to do that. It seems more like they would just rather, let's bring Bogey back. Let's ease him into the rotation and do it that way. But I don't think we're just going to see Bogey Bogdanovich play against the Denver Nuggets this weekend.
No doubt.
However, I don't think we're that far away. But yeah, Deshaun, like, this Nuggets team that, you know, you talk about needing wins, especially coming off of 3 losses, like, you need to string a couple of wins together. The Denver Nuggets, not an easy team to be able to do that against.
No, they're not. And listen, I mean, the Denver Nuggets is a team that I anticipated coming into the year that would be one that can make a finals run. And while a lot of people have said that about them in past years, I didn't see that in past years. But I see that more this year. I think, you know, depending on how healthy, you know, Murray is, because they dealt with their own injuries to star players.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Michael Porter Jr. is another one of those, which
he's hurt again right now.
Yeah, God bless that dude. Is it the back again?
No. Okay. It was for MPJ, it was his heel. So his heel is bothering him right now.
Okay, yeah, because ain't many people walking into the doctor's office and walking out of there with a new back. You know what I mean? Like, that's just been his Achilles heel. You like what I did there, Caleb? You like what I did there? But you know, it's something I thought was always going to be a big piece. But guess what? When you got guys like Bones Highland, and, you know, I mean, Denver's a tough team. I think they're going to be right there. I think that this is a win that, honestly, I think the Hawks need, because yes, the Hawks need any win they can get. Okay, we know. Okay, fine. Okay, but that's not satisfying anybody beating up on Charlottes and Orlandos and Washingtons and, you know, those Indianas and stuff. That's not going to do anything. The big question is going to be, what are, you know, the Hawks going to do against the tough competition in the East? Maybe a little bit of the competition that is equal to them, regardless of what conference it's in. And what are they going to do when they go on the road? Because they're always going to look significantly different at home than they do on the road. The way that we defend State Farm Arena in this town is different level, okay? And so I think everybody understands, everybody overstands that. But you got to be loud. You get Denver, okay? And, You know, when you got when you're going up against, you know, Jokic, and you're down, you know, a four spot or two of them, technically, I guess, a small four slash power forward in DeAndre Hunter, and then a power forward in John Collins. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be slim pickings trying to hold back a guy like that from hitting for 50. Yep. And he's still got pieces around him. Not all his pieces are healthy, but they can win, and they all know their roles very well. And they got a decent bench coming off of it too. So I'm looking forward to the game. That's actually one of the games that I've been looking forward to the most on this season. That's on the schedule in general.
Yeah. So the Nuggets, second in the West right now, they're coming off of a 4-game winning streak. Deshaun, you'll be interested to know, you talk about being the teams you need to beat. Well, the Nuggets played the Rockets on Wednesday night. And beat them 120 to 100, beat them by 20, like you're supposed to do. Yeah. So they're on a 4-game winning streak. They did that too without Jeff Green and without Michael Porter Jr., who are both out. It looks like Jeff Green's going to be out for a while. Michael Porter Jr. is kind of questionable. But as you know from his brief time in college basketball, I got to watch his tournament run. The one game that he got to play with Mizzou and all of 5 minutes on the court. I was actually courtside for that game when I was covering Georgia State. But so like seeing him deal with injuries, nothing new. But it's very different for him to be dealing with an injury than like a Jamal Murray, who's back healthy this year. And I think is a big reason why I agree with you that they could make a serious run, you know, towards winning a championship, if not just winning the West. After that game, the Hawks will then, I think it's on Monday, the Hawks get the OKC Thunder. That's another one of like a team that's not really good. I believe they're 12th in the West right now. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got hurt.
He's looking like an MVP. Yeah, he's been looking like an MVP candidate leading up to that.
He had, but he got hurt Wednesday night. And so that'll be something to watch. Mike Muscala is another guy, former Hawk. He's a guy who got hurt. And so, you know, I'll be very curious. Obviously, those are the two games that the Hawks will play before you and I get to talk next week. And like, I know it's so easy to say, well, we're going to learn a lot about this team, you know, before the next time we talk.
It seems like every game,
But it kind of, that's where we're at. Like
you don't really know exactly what you're going to get. I mean, look, how long was it ago that we were talking about win-loss, 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 win-loss?
Hey, we would love to go back to that right now.
Right. I mean, I'm telling you, and that's it seems like the only thing that has been consistent is that they have been, you know, consistently inconsistent. You know, like I said, about a week over the span of the past probably week, 2 weeks, it's been win-loss, 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 loss. Win, I believe that's how it goes. Something along those lines. That's too many L's. Okay, that's too many L's, man. So, listen, I don't know what we're gonna see out of this team. Okay, I think that's pretty clear. Anybody can tell you they know exactly what they're gonna get. I know State Farm Arena is gonna be loud when it's time to roll up in there. You know, I think it's just the main thing got to be focused on getting the stops on the defensive end of the ball. I think that's probably one of the more important things, rebounding, because you don't know if you're going to have Dre, and you don't know what that looks like exactly. So I think the main thing is just about getting stops, playing together, like it's always talked about from Nate McMillan. Control the turnovers is always going to be a very important and key piece for this team as well. You know, limiting out off on some of those mistakes. Those are my keys to victory over the next couple of days.
And I think Clint Capella is going to need to have a huge game. As much as I'm a guy who doesn't think the success should rely upon Clint Capella, well, when you play Jokic, no, Clint Capella is going to need a big game in that one. And I'll be very curious to see how through the next two games how the Hawks are able to fare. That's all the time that we've got for this week's episode of Nothing But Nest. Go ahead and give my guy, Deshaun Tate, a follow at Tate's Takes Hoops, TATESTAKE Hoops go give me a follow at ATLJohnson18. And then look out for, as we continue to put out podcasts 2 times a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you next week.